Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. The air date of this episode is March 24th, 2023. Welcome to Grand Rising with Shabaka Sankari, our co-host and producer, one and only Chaya Nkrumah. Today, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to be discussing the justification of reparations for Black people who built a wealth base for the Europeans, white America, and China. This is an open mic discussion. Please call in with your comments, questions, and concerns. And we will also be discussing the murders of unarmed Black people at the hands of the police departments commonly referred to as race soldiers who evolved from slave patrols. This episode is for those 18 years of age and older. And please call in at 516-418-5996. And also, too, we're still waiting on you Biden supporters to call in as well, too. Okay, we're going to introduce our co-producer here, the one and only Brother Che and Crump. Good morning to you there, Brother Che. How you doing?
Grand Rising, Chief Sebastian. I'm doing all right. Down to the last week or so, week, 2 weeks of the campaign.
Yes, sir, absolutely. And everybody out there in the city of Denver, be sure to write in Jesse Parrish for mayor of Denver, Colorado. Okay, they're on the last few days of the campaign. You can definitely get Mr. Parrish in there because there's other individuals that they got running for mayor of Denver, Colorado. We're just going to sit up there and pacify people. Once again, this man dedicated, you know, to dealing with the homeless situation, and also he's dedicated to reforming the police department there as well, too. Okay, well, as you know, Brother Parrish, is that the reparations, okay, is payment, you know, for all the free labor that the Western Hemisphere got, Europe, the United States, Central America, and South America off the transatlantic slave trade, the brutalization of it, you know, which was so degrading. And then, of course, as we do know, that England, France, the Netherlands, Portugal.
Well, they've been doing a lot of explaining here, Sebastian. We had a shooting at the high school east yesterday. And the killer of the two beings, he shot two beings that found a ghost gun on him. And then he ends up dead in Park County away from the vehicle. Like, they say he shot himself away from the vehicle. It's just not adding up.
Wow. Okay.
And now they want to put officers in the school, come out mandatory officers to the end of the year.
Okay, so they want to definitely have the race soldiers inside the educational institution once again.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so that just goes to show the more reason that we said it on this platform before for homeschooling of our children and their programs.
And if they homeschool their kids, they're having to go to court. Behind that. That's what I'm hearing.
Oh, really? So they got a court case.
Yeah.
Okay.
There's certain rules. It depends on the state. Yeah, you state. And if you don't pass the test, but apparently this kid has been a problem. He got expelled from another school in Aurora. The same thing that they just found dead in Park County.
Wow. Okay, so once again, you know, they're going to use that there as more justification, you know.
Austin. Is his name Austin what? Austin Lyles or something? I was darker than him, though. But, yeah, he could be my son or something. He could be, And they found him dead.
Well, our condolences definitely, you know, go to, you know, his love and what have you. And then these type of situations, you know, that you would hear, you know, happen in Chicago, Los Angeles, New York.
Talk about it. I don't know, Lady Tech's talking to me. Lady Tech, do you want to call into the show?
Can you hear me?
Can you hear us, Sebastian?
Yeah, barely. I hear in the background.
He said he can barely hear you in the background. Oh, okay. So that's the situation that we got going on here in Denver. There's a rally going on right now at the state capitol.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, like I said, and like we have said, you know, over the years, there's the more reason for us to get our reparations so therefore we can build up our own infrastructures of education and what have you, mentoring to our young people, and get them out these Eurocentric doctrines. You see, but basically, that's the crux of the problem. And this is another reason for justification for the reparations, because, you know, on a collective basis in our minds, that, you know,
we're having a reparations rally, black family, in August here in Colorado. So if you live in Colorado, join us. It's April 26th at noon. So mark your calendars. Our listener from Colorado.
Okay. All right. And need to have the reparations campaign in all 50 states. And then also, too, you know, give a shout out there to our brother down in South Carolina who's still trying to get justice, you know, if Mr. LaBelle, you know, if he had died there.
I wonder if Greg Marcel Dixon has reached out to him or vice versa. Because he's down there in South Carolina. That's the one I ran against at Clyburn.
Okay. Yeah. And that's and another thing, too, that we want to comment on as well, too, is that these contemporary black politicians, the majority of them, I'm not going to say all, but the majority of them, you know, they still have
the all inclusive. Can we all just get along agenda?
Right.
Outside
exactly.
of Mark Dixon, I'm the only one that's been on a black first agenda since day one.
Exactly. And this is the more reason, you know, is that we got to focus on our own institutions. You see what I mean? It's because we've been through centuries of this stuff. You see what I mean? And it's still, you know, always the same result. I mean, shortly, you know, before his untimely death.
Oh, we're coming up on his 55th anniversary. We're coming up on the 55th anniversary of assassination.
Yes, sir. April the 4th, which would be next week. Yeah, you're right. That's it. Within the next 10 days. And then the sad part about it is I remember one day when I was in school at that time that they were getting upset because a lot of black children wanted to learn about Martin Luther King, you know, at that time. And then the sad part about it is that they keep trying to push this illusion of inclusion. And black families, we got to just what the hell
they
up, man.
Can
you
kill,
know, this is
they can just kill of him they want to use. Like I heard Bill O'Reilly.
Yeah.
I was there, Bill O'Reilly or Hannity say, no judge a man by the color of his skin, by the content of his character. And it was a round of applause. And you could tell it was nothing but crackers out with clapping.
Right. Yeah. You see? And once again, see, so they have, you know, other groups who have been through turmoil.
No, a legislative issue. I keep telling these people, they keep telling them, we need to do this at the Capitol. We need to do this. It's not a legislative issue. It's a community issue. What happened to the fucking village?
Right.
The village wouldn't have allowed this.
Exactly. They say, once again, the cohesiveness has been shattered. You see what I'm saying? Totally has been shattered. Then, of course, the junk that they give you about Los Angeles, Hollywood, California, and all that. And then they're trying to distract us with these alternative agendas. So trying to push it on us that for us to come up is to get involved with these alternative agendas. And that there's a huge, huge countermand to our progress. And then the sad part about it, those who have benefited off of the transatlantic slave trade, you know, the Europe, white America, and now China is doing it. And then, too, in China, as you know, they're acquiring more and more land on the continent because they want the cobalt. They want the uranium. You know, they want the silicon. You see what I mean? And what's happening?
Yeah, the ore. There's so much stuff they want because Africa is mineral rich.
Right. And then due to the wealth of the world, you know, is that they're more than enough to have every homeless person, not so much in the United States, but throughout the whole world.
Two or three times over, Spocker. There's enough homes in this country to house everybody that's unhoused 2 or 3 times over.
Yes, sir. Absolutely. And you know, and having housing is a human right. You see what I mean? And they don't view us as humans because this is why. You know,
that's why we used to always tell these mothers, you hate the unhoused so much or whatever, or you know, you care about the unhoused so much, why don't you take one home?
Yeah, exactly. I said, miss a couple of them car payments, man, on them high luxury cars and what have you, put them up in a hotel room, you know, for a week. Yeah, say, because this is just my opinion, is that, you know, for the men, you know, you give them about a week, you know, inside the motel, so he can clean up, you know, get his thoughts together, have them have a plan of action for himself, you know, refine the type of skill that he had, the type of trade or education that he has had, where he could sit there, focus on that through a collective basis. With the women, with the children, give them 2 weeks. You see what I'm saying? So give the little babies a sense of security, you know, or a chance to clean up properly, get the hygiene up together, things of that nature. They had to work on a plan of action. Yes, black family, it's doable. You see what I'm saying? It's doable. And then, you know, your Jeff Bezos and Gates and the musty dude over there at the Tweety Bird, you see what I'm saying? They just simply have too much wealth. They simply have too much wealth. You know, $250 billion, man, you can't spend that in 5 lifetimes. You see? And then, you know, they want to sit up here and play space cowboy and what have you. You see? And they're wondering why the weather patterns change. And then you got all this junk up in space, you know, that they had used over the years, and they just leave them up there. Who knows what type of effect that is happening on the ecology. Look at the weather patterns. You see what I mean? You know, you're having tornadoes in Southern California. You know, you're having blizzards in Southern California. So you see what I mean?
Yeah.
You have the global warming aspect up there around the solar polar cap. This is almost definitely the ecology.
That was a tornado in L.A. yesterday.
Yeah, you see, and that's unprecedented. You see, and what I mean by that is, you know, that happens very, very rarely because the last tornado that I ever heard in Los Angeles was well over 40 years ago. You see, a tornado in Los Angeles, you know. Yeah. See, so most definitely, you know, something is going on up there in the Bay Area of California where Silicon Valley is based at. And then they're talking about, you know, TikTok. Because every other time I open up my cell phone,
they are trying to ban TikTok.
Yeah. And then looking at mainstream media the other night, they're saying they got one form of TikTok in China and they got another form of TikTok in the quote unquote free world, as they call it, meaning the U.S. and Europe. And those, you know, who are puppets, you know, to those regimes. It's because when you look at the Belgians or with King Leopold or what they did down there in the Congo, then when you look at the brutalization of the French, of what they did over there in West Africa, and then what they did in Haiti, and then when you look at the brutalization of what the Spaniards did down there in the Dominican Republic, Cuba, Mexico, Venezuela, Argentina, Bolivia, you see?
Okay. Yep, you're right, Tabaka. That's the last time a tornado touched down in Southern California like that.
No, yes, sir, absolutely. And I believe it was around January or February that it happened. Yeah, it was real bad. And then the sad part about it is that this entertainment industry, the agenda of which they are pushing. Then, you know, and they're getting all these celebs talking about they don't believe in reparations. We don't need to have it. And then I saw some brain dead Negro on TikTok talking about, oh, well, we're all the same. You know, slavery wasn't that bad. We're going to put the color thing behind us. Yeah, now, the color thing behind us. Okay, now, you all know your modern-day police department all from the slave patrol. And so what we're going to do is talk about a little bit about the brutalization of what is still happening to black people. Ahmaud Arbery, it's widow, Rittenhouse, state up there in Wisconsin. Yes, he's talking about he wanted to go protect property, and he crosses from one state line to another with a military assault rifle, and those killed two people. Talking about he wants to protect property. Well, it seems to me that the property owner would have had something in place or in line, you know, for protection of his property. So Rittenhouse, you know, he was just using that as an excuse to go out and purge people. Just straight out.
Mm-hmm.
You see? Straight out. You see? And then also, too, the murders of unarmed black people at the hands of these race soldiers who evolved from the slave patrols. Now, as we all know, the slave patrollers were issued badges. They had jurisdictions to cross state lines to go capture runaway slaves, because slaves was big business. And as we had read there on another podcast that we did in the material of Lerone Bennett from the Ebony File, about how you could mortgage a slave, you could borrow money on your slave, you see what I'm saying? You could pass down your slave, you know, as inheritance, things of that nature right there. And also, too, they keep talking about, well, how black marksmen helped defeat the British at the Battle of New Orleans and what have you, and it was just simply worthy of, you know, we're on the puppet strings, you know, of their masters. Yes, sir. Period. Yes, sir. And then they're talking
California,
about that.
Here.
Okay, California did what now?
Averages 11 tornadoes a year.
Wow, that's news to me. That's news to me. Okay, 11 tornadoes a year.
Not very strong like the ones in Oklahoma or Texas or Kansas.
Right, or in the Midwest, you know, as they say. And then also, too, you know, looking at this material, you know, about slavery from Lerone Bennett, you know what I'm saying, that was part of the Ebony magazine, what have you.
I think tornadoes and hurricanes are the ancestors. Cause
oh, yes, sir, indeed. Yeah, that's without a doubt.
Garvey said you'll find him in the whirlwind.
Exactly. You see what I'm saying? So that there, you know, will tell you, you know, just how bad it was and how it even had messed up with the ecology, you know, of the planet at that time. You see, and then not to mention, you know, health issues, bacteria, you know, that evolved from the cargo holds of the slave ship. Because you got to keep in mind, you know,
wow.
Laying in your own body waste, man, vomit. So that breeds more bacteria. You see what I mean? And then, you know, that's even more bacteria. This is because, as we all know, the Europeans did not believe in faith. This is with our people that gave the Europeans the concept.
Interesting facts. You want to hear interesting facts?
Yes.
The same year the Black Panthers started in Oakland, California, there was a tornado.
Yeah.
In L.A.
Really? 1966. How about that? That's very interesting. And then up in the Bay Area, you know, the weather can get, you know, quite severe as well, too. Once again, you see, you know, the power of the ancestors, you see, is because, as we all know, that we stated on another platform where I did a live feed from Vallejo, California, which isn't too far from Oakland, California, was talking about, you know, the Rosie Riveters during World War II that contributed once again to the wealth of the United States. You see what I mean? Because those defense planes at the end of the war wind up, you know, becoming, you know, airplane production plants and more automobile production plants. You know, it really helped, you know, the industrialization of the income over the gross domestic product, you know, of the United States. You see what I mean? And once again, you still had the Jim Crowism laws going in there. You still had, you know,
Shabaki, it was four tornadoes in Southern California. What was happening in '83? Besides Thriller.
Wow.
There were four tornadoes in '83 in Southern California, in Los Angeles.
Okay. Okay. All right. Well, that just goes to show, you see. And look at what Los Angeles represents, Hollywood. And look at the propaganda and the garbage and the crap, you know, that they perpetuate as well, too. So, like you said, man, that is the ancestors, you know what I'm saying? You know? And what I'm reading here by Mr. Lerone Bennett again is that the whole commerce between master and slave is perpetual exercise of the most boisterous passion, the most unremitting despotism on the other. The children see this and learn to imitate. For man is an imitative animal. The child puts on the same airs in the circles of smaller slaves and best nursed, educated, and daily exercised. And tyranny cannot be stamped by with odious peculiarity. You see, and Thomas Jefferson, as we know, you know, who was the raping, slaving, pedophile himself. You see, it's incredible how they look at him, you know, as the symbol of freedom. And then also, too, not only did the slave patrollers have badges, too, Brother Chang, is that the slaves themselves had to have slave passes. Mm-hmm. To prevent escapes, guards frequently check passes on slave tags of slaves found off the plantation after curfew. You see what I mean? Because they figured that they were trying to run away. Uh-oh, we got a caller here, Brother Che. It's the unknown number. And I think we know who this is.
Sorry, I'm going to have to go about this. Yeah. You're going to have to duke it out with Sorry.
Okay. All right, Brother Che, thank you. Okay, unknown caller. Yeah. Your mic is unmuted. Who we had the pleasure of speaking with this morning?
Okay, what I miss?
Okay, Sarge, how you doing this morning? Okay,
I'm doing
so what
good,
we doing,
man. Me and my dog was out there doing a little obstacle course I got from out the backyard, and I just got carried away. I thought it was meant to get the show, but... You know, he gets very enthusiastic, and it's kind of hard to break it off with him because he's a lot of fun.
Oh, yes, sir. Okay, Sarge, well, you know, we're talking about here, you know, the justification of reparations for black people who built a wealth base for the Europeans, white America, and now China. This is open mic discussion, and we're asking those to call in with their comments, questions, and concerns. And we'll also be discussing the murders of unarmed black people at the hand of race soldiers who evolved from the slave patrol. This episode is for those 18 years of age and older, and we're asking everyone to call in at 516-418-5996. And we're still waiting on the Biden supporters to call in as well, too, Sergeant. We only got 30 minutes left. In this show, because this episode is Grand Rising with Shabaka Tankori that we're going to be doing every Friday at 8 a.m. my time and 11 a.m. on the East Coast. So I guess the sun is shining out this charge and spring is on its way. So what's on your mind, man?
Well, yeah, that's a lot to unpack there. I mean, particularly that comment about police officers being race soldiers. I mean,
yeah.
I mean, you really got to look at the genesis of police officers in the northern states and the southern states. You see, the origins were very much different. I mean, the northern states, New York, they popped their formation of their police agencies on the London Bobbies, the Metropolitan Police. And in the South, they did evolve from posse-type activities with county sheriffs and the like, summoning posses to, among other things, yes, capture escaped slaves, yes, to hunt down fugitives. Mm-hmm. They did a lot of things in posses back then. So it depends on which department you're talking about. New York was nothing like the police departments that evolved in the South.
Okay. All right. And then, as you know, too, Sarge, that slaves is great wealth for the South is because, as we had stated on previous podcast here at Chicago's Black Experience in Hank, is that you could borrow on your slave, you could mortgage your slave, you could rent out your slave. You see what I'm saying? The slave master could violate the slave woman anytime that he got ready, which was institutionalized rape because these girls was young as 12, 13, 14 years old, you see. And that's another reason for the reparations, you see, you know, the brutalization of this charge, you see what I'm saying, of all the wicked here had led to it, how it transpired, you know, till after the Civil War, to the Industrial Revolution, to the Civil Rights era, you see what I'm saying, to the Black Empowerment era, and now the era that we're in right now, I just don't know what to call it, is because, you know, they got Black men being out here being effeminized and what have you, talking about that this stuff is normal. And it's not, you see. And so anybody out the Bay Area of California, you can give us a call here at 516-418-5996. And, you know, and I'd be happy to argue and debate with you. And also, too, P.I., if you're out there, you're welcome to call in, you know what I'm saying. And the sad part, P.I., that I found out, is that Shabaka and Piaki were brothers there, you know, on the continent, on historical aspects, you know. So so that's something there that'd be kind of interesting. Okay, Sarge,
I'd like to ask a paradoxical and somewhat esoteric question of you, and I hope you'll indulge me as I ask you. Okay, now.
Yes.
I'd like to remind you, this question is quite paradoxical, but nonetheless, has certainly a huge element of truth. Now, I just like to know, because, you know, we go back and forth about historical facts, we argue about them and all that, but I think this is time for a little metaphysics here, if you'll indulge me. All right, now, do you enjoy life, Shabaka? Do you enjoy living and being alive? No matter what is arrayed against you, in the main, do you enjoy being alive?
Okay, well, Sarge, I would figure that any biological unit, you know, people, cats, dogs, you know, even the plants, man, you know what I'm saying, enjoy being alive.
Well, I know I do. I enjoy my life, especially in retirement. I'm having quite a good time. Like I said, I just had a hugely enjoyable morning with my companion, my dog. I'm gonna meet friends later on today. We're gonna do some activities that are we regularly engage in. I enjoy life very much. Tuning in with my family, reading, watching movies, doing all kinds of things. Even having debates with you. Now I enjoy it very much.
And
the paradox part of this is that none of this enjoyment I am having right now would have been possible for me without slavery. Now, that means I benefited from slavery by virtue of being alive. Now, I know that sounds absurd. When you think about it, it does. Now, was it a sin and a crime and an atrocity for my Negroid ancestors? Yes, it was. Slavery is among the greatest crimes you can commit on any human beings. But nonetheless, it led to this development of this large Black population here in the United States that I think in the main, I mean, arguably, of course, has the greatest amount of liberty, freedom, and prosperity of any similarly sized situation of population of Black people in the world. That is the paradox of it all.
Okay,
I benefited from slavery,
and
if you enjoyed being alive today, so did you. You would not exist were it not for slavery.
Well, I'm not going to agree with you on that one there, Sarge. I was going to have to say, you know, it would be the ancestors. You see what I'm saying on the continent? Because who knows, maybe that they speak to me of having the positions that I've had, you know, on politics and things of that nature there and education and whatnot, you know, over the course of my lifetime. You see, and I just think that it's just proper that I would pass down what I've lived through to the generations after me so they don't repeat the same mistakes and so they do not be misled. It's because with that garbage coming out of California is that they had that transcended all across the nation is redundant. But however, to each is riches, you see, because I was stated publicly, I've stated individually, is that there is no way that I'm going to sit up here and refer to a man as a woman. And I don't care, you know, what he's been through, what operations that he's had. You see what I mean? You know, that there's, in my opinion.
Well, hey, you and I are complete agreement on that. I think the most absurd manifestation of modern social life is this insane transgender cult. I mean, we're literally beginning to worship. I mean, worship. I saw this crazy actress, Drew Barrymore, get on her knees in front of this freak, Dana Mulvaney, and almost prostrate herself for him, expressing her undying admiration and love for this guy. It was beyond grotesque. I mean, you know, it's complete denial and abnegation of reality, biology, science, human nature, everything. Yeah. And it's a sign of mental illness. I mean, we are literally worshiping a manifestation of mental illness. I think transgenderism is, in fact, mental illness. I mean, there's no other way to put it. Because how can you be at odds with normal, functioning parts of your body that match your chromosomal biology? How is that possible unless you have some kind of mental illness?
Right. You see, or been through some type of trauma.
It's literally crazy. I mean, it's... On a logical basis, it literally defies reason itself to say this is normative.
Exactly. You see? And it's a downright insanity. So it's just what it is. And then keep in mind that those who practice this, in my opinion, might have been abused and might have had this lifestyle forced upon them, you know, with this insanity, you see? And then Bay Area, the number to call in is 516-418-5996, and we did get started here about this Black Experience Enhanced at the 50th anniversary of the Black Panther Party. So yeah, I'm just putting that out there, Sarge. You know, so therefore they know
where
to call.
I think there is something innate about transgenderism, just like many other types of mental illness, like depression, a tendency to alcoholism. Schizophrenia, any number of things that, you know, are manifestations of mental illness. All of a sudden, with this particular mental illness, we have to sit up here and celebrate it. Talk about how wonderful and great and normal it all is. And if you don't, we're going to cancel you.
Right.
We're going to kick you out of your job. We're going to shun you and exile you. I mean, you know, there is something very wrong about this. This is fascistic. This is something that you find that fascists do. They try to impose thought control on you, and it is very, very worrisome.
Oh, yes, sir, it is. And then keep in mind, Sarge, that's exactly what it is thought control. That's exactly what it is mind manipulation. That's exactly what it is. You see, it's trying to exterminate the Black family unit. It's because you see what I'm saying is that they're putting this very heavily in the inner city and what happened. Just like when you look at the industry itself of Hollywood, of how they glorified this, and then looking at you like you crazy is because you don't go along with, well, something is wrong with you. You know, you must be one because, you know, you're so concerned about it. No, it's the children that I'm concerned about. You see what I'm saying? It's because who is it? Charlize Theron, who's a movie actress, who adopted two boys, I believe, if I'm correct, from the continent of Africa. And then she goes on and makes a statement, and she did it, saying that she's going to, quote-unquote, raise him. Now, you see, Sarge, that's hypocrisy right there. That's not a paradox, okay? That's hypocrisy. How are you going to raise a male into a girl? You see what I mean?
I guess idea is to find a way to help them reconcile what their mental disorder says is at odds with a very physical being. I mean, how much more fundamental your existence can you be than to be at odds with your very physical being in the manner you were born? I mean, like I said, that's got to be defined. A mental illness. There's no other way to put it. Just mental. But we're not supposed to indulge it. We're supposed to, help and people then, through this, not indulge it. I mean, but you got to remember, the people who started all of this, they began this 100 years ago. They said what they were doing. Wrote it down. There was a guy named Herbert Marcuse. He was one of these guys who was with the Frankfurt School and the Institute for Social Research. And they had to come from Europe, from Germany, when Adolf Hitler and the Nazis came to power in Germany. And they were Marxists, and they were trying to get Marxism into the world when it failed in the aftermath of World War One. They couldn't figure out why Marxism didn't sweep the world like it did in Russia.
Mm-hmm.
And they realized it was the institutions that undergird civilization and society that had to be attacked. Starting with the family, with religion, with all of these various institutions that be broken down. And they said the family could be attacked using this thing, this theory that this Herbert Marcuse came up in his book called Eros and Civilization. He called it polymorphous perversity, meaning human beings could not achieve liberation until they were able to indulge every sexual fetish and appetite that they might conceivably have that are stifled by religious belief systems. He wrote it all down in his book. It was a big deal on the campuses in the 1960s and everything else. It became one of the Bibles of the SDS and outfits like that. And now we're beginning to see polymorphous perversity becoming emergent, conquering. They wrote it all down. Mm-hmm. That's what they said they had to do, and they're doing it right in front of our eyes. And it started 100 years ago.
Yes, sir. And then to quote Sister Soldier, and I know you know who she is. You know, she was a rapper who became an activist, and I got a lot of respect for her, a very educated woman. And she had owned Tony Brown a few years ago and Cornel West. Okay, it's because she was saying is that how come, you know, we don't have institutions that's dealing with our children, you know, teaching them of their history and of where they come from. You see it in the Asian community, and in the West, you know, you're going to see a lot of Asian communities there because, as we all know, San Francisco was a point of entry for them at the time of the Transcontinental Railroad being built. As well, they were discriminated against. But one thing that they had is that they had their cohesiveness amongst themselves. You see what I'm saying? To this very day, Sarge. You know what I'm saying? You know, a lot of them are on social media. Look at the business they had on mainstream media, man, about to own their TikTok in the U.S.
Look what's going on here with these transgender women in athletics and sports. Now, you're taking men that are either mediocre or barely competitive when they compete against other men. I mean, they're like in the middle rankings to the lower rankings when they're competing against other men. And when they get and they declare themselves to be women, and they go and compete against women, all of a sudden they're breaking women's records all over the place. They're breaking, they're shattering them, back to back. And then, you know what I think this all stems from in part, and again, more the corrosive effects of this institutional breakdown. Remember radical gender determined identity feminism. What does it say? At its core, it says this.
Okay.
A woman can do everything a man can do just as well or better. And that is like holy writ, like Catholic dogma. You are not to question it. You're not to say, well, maybe not everything, maybe a few things they can't do as well or better than men. But if you say it, you get excoriated. Now, the fact of the matter is, when it comes to any sport involving speed and or strength and or power, then men do it better than women. But remember, the Holy Writ says a woman can do everything just as well or better than a man. So that when they see now the results of this, that it simply is not true by a long shot, by significant factors, it's just not true, it's an untruth, is at odds with human nature and reality, So what do they have to come up with? They have to come up with a regime. They have to come up with punishments. They have to come up with strictures. They have to come up with control.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like, when they start off in a marathon, they had to give the woman runner a half-hour start over the men before the men even started to run.
And then also,
it all stems from this corrupt notion that a woman can do everything just as well or better than a man.
Hey, Sarge, you joined in by the Anchorman. Okay, yeah, we got the Anchorman on here with us. Hey, Anchorman, good morning to you, sir. How you doing?
How you doing, sir? This is Rob Mel, understanding the angel of peace from the east, understanding, understood in the neighborhood near you, bringing the whole without deserve official frontline campaign. Salute to the fallen soldiers. I'm on my military grind. I'm on military time, and I'm utilizing my military mind. How y'all doing this morning? Rise and shine.
Okay, we're doing this here, okay, yeah, Anchorman, this is Grand Rise.
Always, sir.
Say that again, General.
I said, Sarge, it's a pleasure, sir.
Good talking to you, too, sir. I love exchanging ideas with anyone and everyone, actually.
Oh, yes, sir. Now, one thing, though, too, Sarge, glad you brought that up with these transgender sports. Now, I believe one of the governors of either Texas, man, or Arkansas has signed a bill in his state, man, banning it. Now, I'm going to tell you something. I don't have a problem with them forming their own leagues. You see what I'm saying? But when it comes to stuff like boxing, where they had this transgender fight this female boxer and gave her a skull fracture. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, I remember that.
Quote women in my family, and quote the women in my family saying that she said is that this dude still has the strength of a man. Now, he's got his human rights, he's got his civil rights, he can do all what he wants, but one thing that I'm not going to do and say that this is a woman, because I don't see no estrogen nowhere. See, that's the element that attracts you to women. It's called estrogen, and I forgot what it was on the reverse. That I ain't interested in. You see what I'm saying? I just like the estrogen. So what do you got to say about that there, Anchorman?
Well, until we rid ourselves of this notion that when it comes to athletics, particularly, women can do everything just as well or better than men, until we rid ourselves of this notion, we're going to get this this artificiality, this rigorously demanded dictum that if a man says he's a woman, well, a woman could do everything as well or better than a man can. So what is the big deal anyway? We all know a woman can do everything just as well or better than a man. So what difference should it make? So if you say women can compete with men anyway, I mean, this is all in the subtext. It's not stated openly because they know it's crazy. It's all in the subtext. A woman can do everything just as well or better than a man. So men, women are really competitive with men at the elite level of athletic competition, like in the Olympics and in professional sports. We all know this. We all know this to be true because we know it's true. It's just true because we say it's true. So therefore, since a woman can do everything just as well or better than a man, if a woman says, a man says he's a woman, he's just another competitor like any other woman. See, you have to just close your eyes to all these consistencies, inconsistencies, and contradictions. You just have to put them out of your mind and accept the dogma.
Yeah, and that it is, man. It's a dogma, you know. And
it is dogma. That's all it is. It just defies common sense, reason, empiricism, empirical evidence, the evidence of your eyes. The evidence of the records, the evidence of the performance.
Yeah.
I mean, I saw this, it was Olympic trials or something, but they had a mixed men and women's relay team. I don't know if you saw this or not. But they started off with the men running, so they get whatever teams were running would have the biggest lead they would have. They gave this one, at the end of this one relay, this one track team of women, the woman had a one-lap lead when she took the baton.
Right.
And there were men bringing up the last leg of the run. And every single man had lapped her by the end of the race. It was unbelievable. Every single man had lapped her by the end. And she started off with almost a full-lap lead. It was staggering to watch. Like I said, just take the evidence of your eyes, pretend they don't exist, and just feed yourself a bunch of delusions. And this is what these people are doing to us today. They tell us the evidence of your eyes doesn't matter. If there's all kind of crime in the streets, crime exploding, homicides up 50, 60, 70% in some of these cities, carjackings, everything else. No, it's not really happening. Right. The only reason it's happening is because of X, Y, and Z, not because of the actual crime itself. And it's all made up. You know, ignore the evidence of your eyes and what you're seeing and what happened to your relative last week.
Okay. All right. Okay. What's your feedback on that there, Anchorman?
Hey, man, you know what I'm saying? I'm a Republican, and I have strong patriarchal views on family. Not saying that the matriarch isn't a component of my family dynamic, because she is, you know, my grandmother, my sister, my mother. I think that the woman in the family is a source of wisdom, and I respect and honor my female counterparts and my female family members. Now, what I do want to say is that in regards to crime and stuff like that, I think that crime is a product of poverty and of it's situational. You know what I'm saying? Because, you know, if they wouldn't have the people where they have no means of caring for themselves, and they have no help, they have no education, you know, and at the same time, you know, like the COINTELPRO thing, where, you know, basically they brought the drugs, they gave us the drugs, they gave us the guns, you know, initiated combat between us, you know, black and brown, in the black and brown community, and then, you know, at the same time passing bills to open up more prisons, and then to monopolize the prison industry and all that. If it wasn't for that element of, you know, that situational element where they initiated the poverty and they caused the poverty to be, crime wouldn't exist. That's my personal opinion, you know, in regards to transgenders and homosexuals and all that shit. I think, you know, honestly, in the DSM 1, 2, and 3, I believe, which is a diagnostic manual for mental health and psychiatric book, they stated that homosexuality was a mental health disorder. And I believe that. And I think that the people who are in that kind of lifestyle, I believe that they just have a distorted mind and a distorted way of looking at things. And, you know, I don't know, you know, if it happened when they were young or whatever, but now there's so much nonsense on and misinformation on the internet that they're making it acceptable to the kids, you know, where, you know, they think that's okay, you know, and they don't see traditional family values, you know, the natural way of life, which is man, woman, and child, which is knowledge, wisdom, and understanding. That's what I have to say there.
And then to prove your point even further there, Anchorman, there was a case in Buena Park, California, you know, where there was having the quote-unquote drag queen story hour, where they would take an elementary school and present them with this material. Okay, so therefore, a few parents that got upset about it, one that went on social media, did a live feed from it, and she had told the people at the staff of the library in Buena Park, California, which is in Los Angeles County, well, I don't dig this and this, that, that, the other. I think this is inappropriate for the children. So the librarian told her, well, why don't you just leave? She says, no, I don't have to leave because this is open to the public. But then to find out that these individuals who was making this presentation to these children had arrest records, you know, for child molestation. Okay? You'll see. Also, too, why are they coming to them with this in their formative years? Now, I can understand if you're going to do it at the, I would even say as far as senior high school students, you know, at the junior level in senior year or at the collegiate level, but not at elementary school and grade schools, because these children are still in the transition from childhood to adulthood. You see what I mean? Okay. And then keep in mind, they have the civil rights, they have the human rights, but don't no man got no right to come up to me telling me that he is a woman. You see what I'm saying? Now, that there is just my personal opinion, and I'm sure there's a lot of men folk that feel the same way. Comments, Jeff.
Well, I got something I'd like to add on to that, you know,
that I think is very enlightening.
I think this is very enlightening when you understand how it all occurred. And I believe 1972 mm-hmm. or thereabouts, there was a meeting mm-hmm. of the psychiatric community, you know, the American Psychiatric Association. And in 1973, they removed the diagnosis of homosexuality from the Diagnostic and Statistical Manual of Disorders, Psychiatric Disorders.
Okay.
Now, they did this by mm-hmm. a simple vote of the meeting when they met there. Now, they didn't offer mm-hmm. any new scientifically-based or observational-based studies to indicate why this change should be made. They didn't offer any new evidence. They came up with a lot of arguments that had to do with, you know, whether this is ethical or right or wrong, but they didn't introduce any contributing scientific evidence as to why it should be removed. And by a voice vote, it was. Now, if you look into the history of it, you will say to yourself, why did they do that? Because, it, like I said, these people are supposed to be doctors and psychiatrists, are supposed to have a scientific basis, but yet and still they didn't introduce any evidence to do it. I think it was part of the beginning of this psychosexual revolution as outlined by Herbert Marcuse and the guys in the Frankfurter Institute, the Institute for Social Research, to institute polymorphous perversity, which would lead to liberation and the destruction of all of these institutions that were holding down the impulse for liberation of human beings. I mean, all of it fits, and we're seeing it all coming to realization today. Just read up this Look up the history of this American Psychiatric Association and how all of a sudden they said homosexuality is not a mental disorder but a sexual orientation disturbance. And then in 1987, it completely fell out of the Diagnostic Statistical Manual, completely, without any real scientific explanation as to why they did it.
Okay, and that sounds like that was during the Nixon regime, too. You know, the guy who said that he was not a crook. Remember him?
Well, Act 1987, the president would have been Ronald Reagan. That would have been president. But you know, the American Psychiatric Association was certainly not run by Republicans.
Okay. So it was the Democrats, huh?
You believe that, man. Not in the leadership, leadership of the American Psychiatric Association. No way.
Okay. All righty. Okay. That there makes a lot of sense, Sarge. You know, you'll get no argument for me on that. Well, gentlemen, we're down to our last 2 minutes, okay? Time for closing comments, okay? We're going to ask the Anchorman to come up with his closing comments, and we definitely thank the Anchorman, you know, from joining in with us. And I think we got somebody here who's about to make their closing comments. Okay, I do not hang up, folks, okay, because I think we're being joined by Brother Che. Okay.
Yeah, this is...
Okay, yeah, okay, Brother Che. Yeah, we're at the point of closing comments. We got the Anchorman with us, and we also got Sarge with us as well, too.
All right, Grand Rising to both of y'all.
Grand Rising.
I already gave my closing to Baka. I was just trying to see if what's happening with the show, because I just ended my meeting, and I got another meeting in 1 minute. So as Lady Taylor would always say, stay black, stay dangerous, keep your head on a swivel. We're at war. We get reminded of every single day that we are on this planet. And if you don't understand racism and white supremacy, what it is and what it's all about, everything else that you think that you understand will only confuse you. So peace, love, light, reparations, and black empowerment. Make sure you check out Frontline Black News this Saturday, season 2, episode 51.
Okay.
And right now, Jesse Paris for Denver Mayor, JSSEPARRIS. The election is April 4th.
Okay. And most definitely be sure in Denver to get out there and vote for Brother Paris. Here and then keep in mind, as we all know, that April 4th of this year coming up would be the 55th year, the day that Dr. King was assassinated. Yeah. Okay. All right. Thank you, man. Your closing comments, please.
Yes, sir. This is Romel and Stan, the Angel of Peace from the East. I want to say support the Frontline Campaign and all our media outlets, Shabaka's Black Experience Enhanced, the Revolutionary Agenda, and Frontline Black News. Support Jesse Parrish for Denver Mayor of Colorado. And support all the political prisoners, everybody that's locked down, free them immediately. And then thank you, Sarge, for always dropping your 2 cents into the bucket, man, because we really appreciate it. You heard? And that's all I want to say.
Yes, sir. Okay, Sarge, your closing comments, sir.
Well, thanks a lot for the compliments. I think that whether we agree or disagree, I think people should always attempt to share whatever knowledge they have and submit evidence and ideas up for debate, and that's how epistemology is eventually realized. The continuous debate is what actually is true. And, you know, and look, I'm going to let my final comment go by saying a comment I wanted to make earlier during the show. We talked about homicides. There are 3,300 counties in the United States. 3,300, a little bit more than that, somewhere in that region. 85% of all homicides in the United States on average year to year are committed in 15 of the 3,300 counties in the United States. 58% of the counties in the United States don't even report one homicide a year. This problem is concentrated in very specific areas, areas. It is not a nationwide problem. And we're not going to fix the problem until we ask ourselves, why does it happen in these 15 counties in these 10 big cities? And we got to ask ourselves why that is. Not we'll never get a handle on it, because that is the first step toward diagnosing any problem. Where is it occurring and why?
Okay. Yes, sir. All right, sir. Okay, thank you so very, very much, sir. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, this is Grand Rising with Shabaka Sankore. That will be coming on every Friday morning, 8 a.m. in the Pacific time, 9 a.m. in the Mountain time, 10 a.m. in the Central time zone, and 11 a.m. On Eastern Coast time. And we appreciate everybody for calling in. And we're going to go out here, you know, with Tupac.
This is the 21st century, and we need to redefine revolution. This planet needs a people's revolution, a humanist revolution. Revolution is not about bloodshed or about going to the mountains and fighting. We'll fight if we are forced to. But the fundamental goal of revolution must be peace. Revolution of the mind. We need a revolution of the heart. We need a revolution of the spirit. The power of people is stronger than any weapon. A people's revolution can't be stopped. We need to be weapons of destruction, weapons of mass love. It's not enough just to change the system. We need to change ourselves. We have got to make this world user-friendly. User-friendly. Ready to sacrifice to end world hunger, to sacrifice to end colonialism, to end neocolonialism, to end racism, to end sexism. Revolution means the end of exploitation. Revolution means respecting people from other cultures. Revolution is creative. is love. Love, 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 love.